Genesis chapter 2. In their book titled Beyond the Bottom Line, authors Graves and Addington, they tell about a man named Fred, whose friends described him as a workaholic. But Fred thought in response to this, quote, "I never wanted anyone to accuse me of getting anything that I didn't pour out good sweat to earn." And when his wife begged him to take a day off, he would respond by saying, "Well, you can take the kids and go for a week to see family or do whatever, but if I take that time off, I'll get too far behind and I'll never catch up." He ate well, he exercised regularly, he was generally good at taking care of his health, even in the middle of too much demand from his work life. But he began to ask himself, maybe I should start slowing down and get some rest. But after working so hard for so long, all of these years, I don't even know how to rest. Don't put up your hand. Anybody identify with that? I don't know how to do that. How do you really do that? Why rest? And what's it for? We've been speaking all month, last month, about faith and work. And now, give it a rest. Why rest? Day 7. God created the work, finished the work of creation. He's finished on day 6, and it's day 7. And he rested. Let's explore the reason why, first of all. The reason for rest. So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. All the other days end with an evening. There's an evening and a morning, but not on this day. There's no night. God doesn't leave his creation. He remains in rest. The rest goes on, sustaining it by his presence. He finds pleasure in what he's made. It says back at the end of chapter 1, "Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good." He not only created it, he remains in his creation and sustains it. It's not work for him. The scripture says of Christ, "Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together." God experiences his creation. He feels it. He touches it. He is touched by it. He knows it, and he wants to be known in it. His rest isn't idleness. Jesus said, "My Father is always working, and so am I," in John 5:17. But the work of creation was complete, and he rests from it. He stays in it to sustain it, to know and be known. It's not too familiar a thing to say that God stays to play in his creation. You see that in Romans 1:20 and following. God reveals his nature and character through what he has made. His imprint is all over it. You hear it. You see it. You get out in creation, you notice the reality and the beauty of the presence of God. While other religions used symbols, idols, to represent the presence of their gods, Yahweh, the Lord, the I Am, is present himself in Sabbath rest throughout his creation. David had a clear view of this. He said, "I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness I cannot hide from you. To you the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. So we may lay down our tools, our pursuits, and rest with confidence that the Creator, the Sustainer, the Savior of the world is in control. You are not the job. God is still good, and you are not the job. You may lay it down with the knowledge that He's got this. He is the God who makes all things new. The Apostle Paul articulated this by God's Spirit. He says, so we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. He's a good man, etc., etc. How differently we know Him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life is become. Because Christ is God, when we receive Him, He transforms us. He translates us into more of what He created and called and gifted us to be in the beginning. There's this newness. God is resting in His creation, always looking forward to the day when everything will be new, but He initiates this through Christ in us. And so we live in this in-between time, in creation, in Christ, between the initial creation, now having been brought back to God through Christ, looking forward to the completion of it. We're in this in-between time, and John is given this clear reveal of His presence in and over creation. In John's revelation, it says, and there will be no night there. This is in the renewed earth, New Jerusalem. No night there. There is no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them, and they, who belong to Christ, will reign forever and ever. This is God's view of His creation, and I have a hunch He's always right. What about you? Do you think God rests in His creation? He's present in everything, over everything. He lives in and over His creation. And when we rest, we acknowledge His presence and His authority over it all. I was driving down the strip the other day, and I had this moment of irritation when I looked up at the gas price sign. Seeing it had jumped again by almost 20 cents, and I thought, but then I remembered this passage, and I remembered that God is still good. He's in control. Sabbath means cease. Cease anxiety. Sabbath means to cease. Cease your worry. God is still good. He's in control. The reason for Sabbath rest is that we rest in God's presence. That's the reason for Sabbath rest. We rest in God's presence, in all of life. He is not frantic. He is in control. He is not saying, oh my, what a mess, what have I done? He is God. He is still good. He's in control. You might be pressed up against the pressures of life. You might feel, not to put too fine a point on it, like that grasshopper that hit the windshield. And you're wondering, how am I going to get out of this? Maybe you need to step back and remember the goodness of God and His gifts to you and stop striving. You are not the job. God is still good. You are not the job. Though Genesis doesn't declare prescribe taking a day for Sabbath rest, the creation account does not do that, but later on in Israel's history, the Lord told them that they should prescribe a day for this. So in Exodus 20, I think it's verse 11, first of all, it was to be a thing they did to emulate God. Take the seventh day, Saturday. And then a little later in Exodus 30, They were to take Sabbath because it acknowledged God's covenant with them. And then in Deuteronomy, chapter 5, verse 15, they're about to go into the promised land, and Moses says, make sure you take this day because you also have to acknowledge your servants. Give them a day off. So there's a humanitarian aspect to this. God rests over his creation, so we rest it. His people rest to emulate him, to acknowledge each other's intrinsic worth as well. God is still good. You are not the job. And sometimes it's challenging to remember that and to let it rest. Give it a rest. Ruth Haley Barton describes what it was like to be run over by a van. She was out riding her bike one day, and she was in someone's blind spot at an intersection, and he drove over her legs entwined with the bicycle, and then to his horror realized what he was done and backed up over her legs. Everyone was surprised that the only injury she suffered was a broken ankle. And at first, because of this, she was euphoric because it was good news, you can imagine. She was so happy. But she said, it didn't take long, and I found out how difficult it was for me to slow down. She kept coming across statements about Sabbath rest during that time, but she didn't want to consider the possibility that though the accident was not God's fault, that maybe he was trying to teach her something. And she says, writings about Sabbath filled her with a longing and a sadness because she had no idea how to make that happen meaningfully in her life. She was facing change, and she wrote, the truth is, Sabbath keeping is a discipline that will mess with you. Because once you move beyond just thinking about it and actually begin to practice it, the goodness of it will capture you, body, soul, and spirit. Sabbath rest is something that's been a hard learned for me through my life. But the longer I live and the more self-aware I've become, the more I recognize how desperately I've needed it. And sometimes it means saying no to extra good things. And then I go through the guilt phase, because that's a bit how I'm wired. And then I realize, no, I really need to rest. You are not the job. God is still good. We rest because God rests and we acknowledge his presence in all of life. What difference does this make? Let's talk about the result of rest. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation. He called it holy. There's this holiness about Sabbath rest. Isaiah described his vision of the Lord in the temple. You know this picture so well. The mighty seraphim, those angels surrounding the throne of God and antiphonally calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Sabbath reflection acknowledges that the Lord is holy and present over all of his creation. That he is holy and present over your work, your life, your volunteering. That he doesn't reserve time with you for Sunday morning. That he's holy all the time and over it all. Many religious people had lost sight of the beauty of God's presence as the reason for Sabbath, and that so they made it into a whole bunch of intense rules and regulations about the time of Jesus. And so they got on his case pretty hard because he was out one day with his disciples and they were hungry. You know what they did? They picked some grain and, you know, I don't know if they threshed it in their hands like you do if you're on the farm, and they ate it to sustain themselves. And some of the religious folks were pretty incensed, but Jesus reclaimed Sabbath and he said, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath. He has authority over all creation. So whereas the Old Testament Sabbath looked back in part on Israel's covenant with God, the celebration of Christ and His resurrection moves us to look forward as we celebrate Sabbath, celebrating new beginnings, new hope. But our high priest, it says, offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time, and then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. You know what the parallel there with creation? God created, and then he rested. The Son of God took our sins upon himself. He died for us, rose again, and then he rests at the right hand of the Father. We are created and we are called through Christ. We're his redeemed people. And through Sabbath, we remember God's presence in creation. And through Sabbath, we remember his promised return through Christ. And resting in God's promise introduces us a little bit to what life's supposed to look like at the end when everything is put back together as it was meant to be. It'll be obvious. John's revelation saw this coming. He says, I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. It's obvious and acknowledged then. See, the result of Sabbath rest is acknowledging and anticipating what God is doing and is going to do in the world, that he's not done, that you are not the job. God is still good. And the result of Sabbath rest is meant to be a closeness with him, intimacy. God is still good. You are not the job. Sabbath gives us focused attention on the beauty of everything that he has made, that he has given us, food, our clothing, everything. Dorothy Bass told her daughter one Sunday afternoon that she couldn't go to the mall. And this led to a rather heated exchange. And she said, but Mom, I'm just going to look. I won't buy anything. And after a while, things settled down. And Dorothy described their conversation this way. What kinds of feelings are stirred up in us when we just look at the displays at the mall? We start to want things, but we don't need them. Is this wanting good for us and for others? If we were poor, how would we experience the mall? Wayne Muller describes how advertising impacts us. He writes, for example, look at the people wearing our clothes, drinking our coffee, sitting in our furniture. Don't they look happy? We know you are not that happy. We know that when you look at all the fun these young, beautiful people are having, you will realize that you have never been this happy. As one scholar puts it, sanctifying the Sabbath means being entirely free from the striving for happiness and from the will for performance and achievement. It means being wholly present in the presence of God. Sabbath rest is God's gift. Nothing earned, nothing to strive for. It is giving it a rest. It is fulfilled for us through being right with God through Jesus Christ. That's our entrance into Sabbath rest, through Him and Him alone. So what really keeps us from experiencing Sabbath rest? Dwight L. Moody, Spirit-led, gifted preacher, told a group of colleagues in 1899 that, quote, he felt that the bicycle, because of its popularity, was the greatest enemy of the Sabbath. So the point of today's message, get rid of your bicycles. E-bikes are okay, I think. We don't really agree with Reverend Moody on this. We don't see the Sabbath the same way. The Sabbath, Sunday, is not the Christian Sabbath. Understand this biblically. We'll get to what it is, but it is not the Christian Sabbath. Nowhere in Scripture can we find any place where God says, here's all the Old Testament says about Saturday Sabbath. We're now going to transplant this into Sunday for you Christians. That doesn't happen. No. Sunday is not the Christian Sabbath. So then how do we live and practice Sabbath as a balance with the goodness of work? First of all, we've already made this point. Submit to God as Lord over all His creation. God is still good. You are not the job. Submit to God in your workplace, in your volunteering, in your retirement, in life. And then second, choose time to celebrate God's lordship over creation and your work. Choose time. The Lord's Day, as Sunday, first day of the week, came to be known, Revelation 1:10, it's referenced, is not a Christian Sabbath or a Christian way of observing the fourth commandment. And early on, the leaders of the church were led by the Spirit to understand that Christ's disciples, His believers, didn't have to adhere to Old Testament ceremony. Paul wrote, "So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths. For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come, and Christ Himself is that reality." Where does Sabbath begin? Christ Himself, relationship to Him, resting in Him. Resting in Him. He Himself is our rest. Dr. Frederick Harm gives us a little history tour, and he says that throughout church history, various Christian groups, movements, tried to migrate back to a legalistic view of Saturday as the Sabbath, for example. The 4th century Eastern Church, the 6th century Irish Church, that's the one thing my ancestors got wrong, okay? And anybody else here have Irish roots? Amen. We think that's funny, don't we? Thank you. In the 1600s, the Seventh-day Baptists did this, and various Adventist groups tried to migrate the church back to Saturday, a legalistic view of Saturday worship. In fact, some who embraced this saw worshiping on Sunday as the mark of the beast, which is foretold in Revelation 14:9 and following. It's a real stretch. But when you're trying to argue for something that's not really well-founded, you can stretch. With respect, we say this. So, Saturday, not the Sabbath. Sunday, not the Sabbath. It seems that some in history who wanted to preserve a sense of the holy also insisted on wrecking fun for everybody. I sat beside a gentleman at a dinner meeting years ago, and we got talking about church because he found out what I did, and he was in law enforcement. Nice gentleman. We had a nice visit. He explained to me why he didn't have much time for church, as people kind of want to do for me sometimes. You know, it's always very inspiring and encouraging, and I'm motivated to go on. But he said, you know, when I was a boy, on Sunday afternoon, we'd sit down with my grandma, and she would make us sit absolutely silent while she read to us for an hour from the Bible. He was a young boy. He was looking outside. He said, I was bored stiff. I hated it. I was saddened by our conversation. Nothing wrong with spending an hour reading the Word of God. No, that's a beautiful thing. But this is the picture often some have of Sabbath. By contrast, through Christ, we pour our awareness of His presence into Sunday worship. We pour our awareness of His presence into Monday work. He is present in all of His creation and life. Today is not the Sabbath, but we live in Sabbath rest through Christ, we pour that thanksgiving into this day in particular, this first day of the week where often the body of Christ has come together to celebrate, because where does God love to live most? In His people. We are His temple. We are His holy place. We are His sanctuary. He calls us His saints. Can you believe that? He calls you and I His holy ones, the hagios, the holy ones. He loves to live in us. He loves to gather us. He loves us together and individually. We come with that Sabbath attitude, and spiritually, physically, mentally, then we also need to take time for Sabbath rest. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with resting and worshiping the Lord on Saturday or on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. These are all God's days. Long ago, a very dear godly person said to me, "Aren't you afraid that churches will be empty if you preach this?" I said, "No. They'll be empty if we say you have to do this because we say so. If we say God's grace is alive and Christ is present, and so you get to celebrate Him." That's what draws people. That's Sabbath rest. So you want to find space to rest and acknowledge God in creation and in your life. And of course, Sunday is often our day to do that. But the fact is that some people work shifts. And so we don't say to them, "Well, you miss Sabbath, you're toast. You miss Sunday, you're going to burn." Adjust a little, but there was a time. So you need to find space to rest and acknowledge God. In fact, you look around and today you're looking about half of your church. On any given Sunday, you're looking about half of your church. The other half are working or recovering from something at work, and they just can't face people today. Some are caring for sick kids. Some are sick themselves. Some are trying to balance way too many commitments, and they're not getting here. They're struggling with that. Some are traveling the world, and others are really struggling in their faith, and they need a phone call. And you look around, you say, "I haven't seen so-and-so for a while. Where are they?" Well, phone them and find out. This is why the Connectors ministry is so vital here. We have many people just calling people periodically saying, "Are you okay? Can I pray for you?" We still need about half a dozen more Connectors. You want to help with that? Let me know. Can you call 5 households 4 times a year? They're not always able to be here. Sometimes they're struggling with being here. You're looking at half your church right now. The point of Sabbath is to delight in the presence of God in all of life. Even when the gas prices are nuts and other things that are much more serious are happening and don't make sense. I invite you in prayer to acknowledge the presence of the Lord in your work, whether that's paid or otherwise. Develop an attitude of Sabbath rest in the Lord, trusting that you are not the job, God is still good, and then pour that into a day of rest and worship. See, God spoke to people who were very organized and disciplined and fastidious about taking Saturday as Sabbath day. Yet, they had failed to enter God's rest because they had ignored His word to them, His promises. They didn't trust Him in daily life. And so God spoke to them in Hebrews chapter 4, and He says, "So there is a special rest, or Sabbath rest, still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fall.
For the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. The point is, we bring ourselves to the word of God. We expose our hearts to him. We need that time that represents his Sabbath rest over us in all of life, that he is in control. The rest of God is intimacy with him through Christ, a place of vulnerability. So you're saying, so you mean Sunday is not the Sabbath? Correct. But we still need Sabbath? Correct. God has created us for the rhythm of Sabbath rest. Most of the time, for most of us, that is what we do on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. We celebrate his presence, his resurrection, as we did with communion. In fact, that history is one of the reasons why a lot of us get Saturday and Sundays off. Submit to God as Lord over creation, including your work, and choose time to celebrate God's lordship over creation and your work, and discipline yourself with it. God is still good. You are not the job. The world won't stop if you stop your work. You are not God. You know that, but do you do it? Do you stop? Sabbath means cease. God is still good. You are not the job. Recently, a couple in a church that's part of our family of churches in Thailand stopped in at a bar. And at the end of the evening, they invited the lead singer of the band who was playing there to come to church. I think it was the next day. I think it was a Saturday evening they stopped in. And he did. He showed up. He's moved by God's Spirit to see his need for Jesus. He receives Christ, becomes a disciple of Jesus, and is being discipled. They took Sabbath rest with them, revealing the goodness and kindness of God. He's drawn by the Spirit of God in their lives and sees his need for Jesus. And so, God is still good. He's drawing people as we are Christ's presence with a Sabbath heart through Jesus Christ. The worship team's coming and they're going to help us celebrate the presence of the Lord. And as they're playing and leading us, could we please have the elders and prayer team folks come over here, just be present. And if you want prayer for something, please come and let them know. And then after the service, we'll invite those remaining for the School of Prayer to come and meet here as we pray for our city.